to listen.
This is BBC Radio 3, it's 7:30, and time for Magnitsky the Musical. Johnny Flynn and Robert Hudson present a controversial and thrilling story for our times. Here they are to introduce the play, which contains some strong language.
Magnitsky the Musical is based on the incredibly true story of a crazy Russian tax heist and how it imperiled Western democracy. It's about a quixotic accountant, a crusading financier, and the infamous Trump Tower meeting. More widely, it's about democracy and justice and the very rule of law.
And we chose a folk vernacular sound because we wanted to bring the story to us rather than push it away. We didn't want it to feel exotic and Russian because this really is about where we are now.
And also, of course, doing it as a musical, especially a comic musical, emphasises that this is drama, not documentary.
We really hope you enjoy it.
Magnitsky, the Musical. By Johnny Flynn and Robert Hudson.
A steaming Manhattan day, heat rising from the concrete as the camera swoops south across Central Park. The baked city looks like a Polaroid photograph. Urchin kids frolic in fountains, hot girls are licking sexy ice creams, and everyone we see is blissfully unaware that this is the day I destroy Western civilization.
What?
I know, great hook. The camera dives down Fifth Avenue and magically pierces the glittering 10th floor facade of Trump Tower.
I don't get what you mean by this camera.
It's the teasers. As soon as we're inside, we're following two pairs of hand-tooled brogues.
Do you keep saying camera because you can only imagine things in terms of television and movies?
No, who are you?
We've met, Mr. Browder. I'm Sergei Magnitsky from Jamie Firestone's office.
Oh, God, of course, Sergei, my old friend.
We're not friends, obviously, Mr. Browder.
Of course we're friends.
Okay.
I know what friends are like.
What's going on here?
It's the teaser.
The teaser for what? This camera, I don't think you're working in a visual medium.
You can see what I describe.
Oh. Yeah. Oddly.
Okay, so, trust me. This is all for you.
What?
The handmade brogues are walking towards the secret meeting which will change the world. They stop at an elevator door embossed with golden intertwining letter T's.
Gold is peeling off.
It's a hyper-luxury building. The camera pans up the legs on which the brogues are on, past the immaculate Savile Row suits, past the silken ties by Hermes and Stefano Ricci, and settles on a pair of tan, complacent faces. We recognize them instantly.
Nope.
It's Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump's son.
I think I've heard of Donald Trump.
Obviously. On the left, that's his son, Don Jr., and the right-hand one's Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law.
So, Don Jr., you know why we're here.
I'm not stupid, bro. We're meeting some dudes from the Russian government.
Not the government, I told you.
Okay, bro.
It's super important, Jr. They are not the Russian government.
Okay. Some dudes from Russia are in this elevator, and they want to give us dirt on Hillary.
I'll do the talking. Miss Veselnitskaya, I presume.
Mr. Kushner, Mr. Trump Jr., let me introduce...
Dude! It's Ike Cavalante!
Bro!
Complicated handshake!
I recognize Veselnitskaya. She's a lawyer for oligarchs, land deals, I think, usually.
Veselnitskaya is oligarchs and more.
Wow. This is a complicated handshake.
Hey, Jared, this is Ike.
I'm the translator, bros.
He's my bro.
I got that. I pressed the button, Junior.
I'm glad you remember Mr. Cavalante.
Of course I remember him. We met at Miss Universe in Moscow.
Those chicks were totally hot.
Universe hot. So, you're with the Russian government?
Not the government.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. But you got the dirt on Hillary, yeah?
I'm here to discuss adoptions.
What?
About how since the Russian government stopped Americans adopting little Russian children, boo-hoo, there has been great suffering of these children.
Oh, no.
Except, of course, who cares about these children?
I'm totally confused.
This is pretext. We're here to help you. And you are here to help us with... significant pause. Still pausing. Really very long pause now, like the judging moment of a reality programme. with our little Magnitsky problem.
What did she mean, Magnitsky problem?
Yes, that's why this is the teaser. This is the Trump Tower meeting?
I don't know what that is.
It was to change the course of history. So what has it got to do with the death of my friend Sergei Magnitsky?
I'm not dead.
Of course you are. Oh, my God. You don't know.
I'm not dead.
I'm so sorry, old friend.
I'm in prison. I'm dreaming.
It's 2020, Sergei.
No, it's not. I'm sick. I'm in prison. I'm having lots of crazy dreams. I keep telling them I'm sick, but they won't listen.
They were trying to make you confess, but you never gave up. I'm sorry.
My family. If I'm dead, I'm not dead. Is my family... How is my family?
They're well, they're safe. I'm looking after them. Be at peace, old friend.
Stop calling me old friend. I'm your tax advisor.
You're dead. I can prove it. No, I can't prove it. You just have to trust me. Can you behave as if this dream is real?
Mm.
Well, look, it's better than what you think you're going through in prison. At least you're not in pain.
No, but okay. It's not a very bad dream, except for being dead. I'm going to behave as if I believe I'm dead. So, why are you telling my story?
Because you were unbreakable. You taught me to be the hero I was destined to be.
So it is all about you. I'm not even the hero of my own death. That's very Russian.
Okay, action. I've got a great way to introduce my character without being boastful because I'm a super modest guy. The camera has the best seats at an ultra-prestigious stage, probably the Carnegie Hall. The setup is an interview, and interviewing Bill Browder is, cue special effects, my friend, is... Bill Browder.
I could interview you.
You don't know the right questions.
So, Mr. Browder, you've done thousands of inspiring interviews about your struggle for justice. How do you sum up what makes you a hero, if that's the right word? From Rosa Parks to Gandhi, Bono to Dr. King, you can tell a real American hero, because a hero's got a special thing.
Bono's Irish.
I love you, too.
It's not just cause we're weeding out injustice. It's not just cause we're standing up to power. I've been asked a thousand times what makes me special. Well, I got a big, fat, special thing. Yes, I do.
That isn't very specific.
Shh, Carnegie Hall.
What a great answer, Mr. Browder. Before you were a justice warrior, you made hundreds of millions of dollars, even though you came from a family of socialists and academic pointy heads. What gave you the genius foresight to invest in Russia? I was always an outlaw, frontiersman of old. I could smell the rubles on the breeze. I'm a rebel with a heart of gold. My grandpa was the head of the Communist Party. My pop was persecuted by McCarthy. I was the biggest rebel of them all. I became a capitalist. I'm a free market buccaneer. I bucked the trends and I bent my ears to the east. To the east, to the east, my comrades. La, la.
You say outlaw, but your academic family were persecuted while you went into finance.
I rebelled against them.
Why? Why didn't you become a professor?
It's not because my scores were bad in physics or in math. It wasn't just to show them I could follow my own path. It wasn't because I'd failed or I was broken to my core that I racked a ton of cash up as a way to keep the score. If that's what you think, my friend.
It's not about what I think, surely. We want to know what you think. What is it you want? Like, why do you keep saying friend? It seems almost pathological.
It's not because I long to show the world I had a friend. Sure, my poker gang all left when they'd no money left to spend. But the cost of being a hero is I go out on my own. I'm like Arnie or De Niro. I'm the kid from Home Alone. I fight the bad guys, my friend.
Mr. Browder.
But you're not doing it right.
Mr. Browder, please can you clarify what makes you so heroic? It's not my Hampstead condo nor my chauffeur-driven car. Though they don't make me special, they make me feel like a movie star. It's not just that I'm weeding out injustice. It's not just that I'm speaking truth to power. I've been asked a million times, what makes you so goddamn special, Bill? Well, I got a big old capitalist, massive American corporate rebel, outlaw, gold, sniffing Robin Hood, Jesse James, John Wayne, lasso swinging thing.
An outlaw is a different thing from a rebel.
That's your view of my big number.
Did you know there was going to be singing?
Musicals are the great American art form, my friend.
Well,
have you seen Wicked? I literally died crying. Songs equal heart equals emotional truth equals that song revealed who I am.
That you're driven by a need for approval.
That I have an enormous thing.
It's huge, but what is it for?
A hero has a thing so he can use it when the time comes. Hang on, light bulb. You should do it.
Welcome to the stage, Sergei Magnitsky. So, Sergei, tell us who you are. Go on.
Really? Okay. Well, obviously I've not worked on this for very long, so it's quite rough.
I'm an ordinary man in a world turned sour. A pawn at the mercy of the shifting sands of power. For hundreds of years my forebears have cried.
So Russian.
Lie, 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 lie. All I ever wanted was a simple working life in a law-abiding country with my home, my son, my wife. But like hundreds of forebears, my dreams now have died. Lie, 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 lie.
How does that feel?
Good. I yearn for a simpler, cleaner country. It feels emotionally very true. This is my song.
Hey, it's a great tune. It's my Russian heritage.
Although I can't sing. If I'm singing, then all of this must be a
no, it's true. It's not exactly what happened. I'm speaking to a ghost. But the important things are
true, 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 true.
So it's not real, but it's true.
That's the perfect way to put it.
I don't like it.
It's what's great about musicals. True, not real. Sergei, I promise that the important things, the incredible fraud you uncovered, will all be publicly available facts. And you're the facts king. In fact, I bet that's why you're here, to keep me on the straight and narrow.
I can see how that would be sensible.
So, where did we start?
I was born...
There's no time. We need to get moving. It's Moscow in the spring. The camera is flying high above a line of angry cars. We're in the year of 2002, and Bill's Russian investment fund Hermitage is going gangbusters. 2,000% in 5 years. We need a caption for that. People should know. Anyway, the camera closes in, and wow, or even lo, it's Bill himself kneeling in the street like the proverbial Good Samaritan. And cradling a stranger's head from harm. An incredible image as a policeman strides toward him.
Stand up! Stand up, sir!
I can't. This guy's had a fit.
Stand up.
Goddamn, listen to me. He's coming round. He says he'll be fine, but we've got to move him off the road. Protect his head.
And you're doing this why? Well, because you knocked him over.
I'm not even driving. That's my car there.
Perhaps your driver's drunk. Get out of the car!
Stay there, Alexei.
I think you are perhaps obstructing the police. This might be very inconvenient to you, sir, a rich foreigner with a driver.
Well, I'm not going to pay a bribe.
But you're accusing
me... I'm not paying a goddamn bribe.
I love that scene. We cut to the glossy Moscow office of my law firm, Firestone Duncan. The boss is the beautiful Jamie Firestone, and she's my details guy.
Jamie's a man.
It's a unisex name.
But he's a man.
It's better if Jamie's a woman. We've got enough men in the story already. It's getting hard to differentiate between them.
What?
You don't have to worry about it, okay? Just Jamie, okay?
You said this was real.
True, not real. And it's dramatically efficient. So, it's just after the traffic scene, and Bill is speaking to a rapt audience of Jamie Firestone and a load of background random meeting guys.
And so I said, "Officer, I am not paying a goddamn bribe."
Jesus, Bill, you should have stayed in the car.
The guy was having a fit, and no one was helping him. But I'm an American, and so I know the authorities can't afford to screw me over. It's a goddamn parable. This is a country where I'm the only guy who's free to do the right thing, and I can make an MFing assload of money doing it.
Do you really think you're doing the right thing?
Hey, it's you. You were in the office?
Of course I was. I said, "Do you really think you're doing the right thing?"
Who is this guy? I was joking.
He's Sergei, does your tax. You know how I'm your details guy? Sergei's my details guy.
Is there a problem with the tax?
It's very efficient. It's creatively legal. But still, disabled employees in a place where...
It's the free market. Kalmykia's got nothing. It needs businesses to set up there. It gives us tax breaks for hiring disabled people. Those guys get paid. Everybody wins. Invisible hand.
Yes, but still, how you got this money in the first place...
It's your democratically elected government chose to privatize.
It's a quarter of the world's gas. And there's all our oil and minerals and the fleets.
I know, it's amazing.
Belonging to the many and sold to the few. I'm sorry, Mr. Browder.
Apology accepted. Do you know how I started in this country?
Yes.
I was working in London.
We know.
I got a call from Murmansk. No one else would even take it. Do you know where it is?
Yes.
It's a port on the Black Sea.
Barents.
So there I am, outside this bleak harbor building with these huge guys, real fishermen. And they're terrified. The leader, a giant, he says...
You have to help us, Mr. Browder. Should we do it?
The fleet is worth $500 million?
Yes.
And the government is offering you a half share for $5 million? They're literally offering you $250 million in return for $5 million?
Yes. Should we do it?
These guys had no idea that privatization was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
They weren't idiots. They knew this price was so some oligarch could take over the fleet.
My point is, I got the fishermen their half.
Yes?
We're free to do the right thing because we're Americans, and they can't screw us over. Yeah, the oligarchs are corrupt, but we're helping Putin clean the stables.
Putin?
I love that guy.
The president's a rock star.
You see, that's the important thing. Everyone thought Putin was the best thing since gherkins on a burger. Gorbachev had been good, freedom. Yeltsin good, transitioning into capitalism. But oh no, he's a drunk, the oligarchs are taking over, panic, panic. But suddenly, hello, I'm Vladimir Putin, and I'm going to have a bit of goddamn law and order around here.
Actually...
No one warned me what he'd become.
There was someone, Mr. Browder, if you remember.
I remember what the news was saying.
President Putin has delighted the financial community with his willingness to tackle corruption.
Everything was sunshine.
Mr. Browder's Hermitage Investment Fund has consistently pushed the authorities to investigate corruption at Gazprom, and Hermitage's gamble on the energy giant is paying off as President Putin takes on the oligarchs.
No one had any idea.
What about the rest of the meeting?
What meeting?
At Firestone Duncan, the meeting you just said. I was very nervous. It was a big thing for me to speak, and you don't even remember.
Oh, of course I do.
We go back to the meeting, and the camera pans...
I'm in charge of the camera.
The camera pans from Jamie, and behind her, we see Sergei.
Oh, look, there's your friendly little face.
He's an ordinary man in a grey suit, chewing his lip. He doesn't want to speak, but...
Russia is big.
I don't need a details guy to tell me that.
It's very big, Mr. Browder.
You seem pretty angry.
I'm trying to explain. If you live in... Tomsk or Syktyvkar or wherever, you're hundreds of miles from anywhere, thousands, and you know your town makes no economic sense. The only thing that matters is that the ruler wants to show how strong he is by keeping open the roads.
What has that got to do with the price of fish?
I didn't sing.
But you spoke from the heart, so it'll be best in a song.
in Russia, whoever's ruler, Tsar or Stalin or a president now, his people want protection.
Time might see through the false and insincere. Time can puncture delusion. But it's hard to see the wood for the trees when you're brainwashed by the illusion. When your papa is the papa who's the biggest at the school gates, nobody messes with him.
The leader has to show that Russia's strong, and he's strong.
Russia used to be strong.
We looked strong.
I remember those May Day parades.
Okay, yes, perfect. Khrushchev, he says, look at my missiles, we're making them like sausages.
You were terrifying.
When he said that, he had four missiles. The rest were made of wood.
What?
Wooden missiles and wooden promises, wooden claims of humanity. Wouldn't it be nice to hold a burning torch up to the pyre of wooden vanity? When your papa is the papa who's the biggest at the school gates, nobody messes with him.
Or you.
When your papa is the papa with a thousand nuclear missiles, all his children start to see. Nobody fucks with papa, he'll blow you to smithereens. He's the Don, he's a preacher, he can beat up all the teachers, Vladivostok to St. Petersburg and all that lies between.
Putin's different.
No, Mr. Browder, when the Kursk submarine imploded...
That's not relevant.
When the Kursk sank, Putin was just president.
188 souls. Putin was standing in Sochi. They were drowning in the Barents. He refused to meet the parents. He looked bad on Channel 1 when it belonged to Berezovsky.
You see?
Berezovsky was arrested.
Berezovsky makes Putin look bad on TV. Boom! That's the end of Berezovsky. What lesson do the other oligarchs learn from this? And Putin, he learns what's real is what's on TV.
When your papa is a shooting, fishing, topless mountain warrior, and he doesn't break a sweat. When he saves that tiger, rides that horse, kisses the baby, strokes the little puppy, jumps out of the helicopter, intimidates the other papas, he'll protect you from all threats. Wooden missiles and wooden promises, wooden claims of humanity. Wouldn't it be nice to hold a burning torch up to the pyre of wooden vanity? No, nobody fucks with Papa, he'll blow you to smithereens. He's a bear, tiger, he's a lover, he's a fighter, he's a Don, he's a preacher, he can beat up all the teachers from Los Angeles to Tokyo and all that lies between.
Smash cut to, I don't know what a smash cut is, but I think it's this. The camera is on the nose of an executive private jet. That's how I travel now. It's 2005. That's on a caption. I'm earning $200 million a year.
Maybe that should be on a caption too.
Yes! Anyway, we're on the nose of this jet, and it's landing on runway 2 at Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport. Almost immediately, it races down the tunnel and along the VIP fast track through customs. But when it gets to the final door, the door slams shut in its face. Confused, it turns. There, pacing like a tiger too big to be caged, is Bill. He's on the phone.
I've been stuck here 6 goddamn hours.
It's Russia. It happens.
It doesn't happen to me. 6 hours, Jamie.
Yes. It's too long.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna start banging heads.
No.
Excuse me?
I don't like it. It really is too long. Just stay calm for the moment.
I goddamn won't. Wait, there's a guy here.
Come with me, please.
I've been waiting 6 hours. You can wait for 2 minutes. Hey, you can't do that. That's my phone. Give it back.
You will come with me now.
We better be going straight to arrivals. My driver has been waiting.
Your visa is revoked, Mr. Browder.
My wife's Russian.
You may appeal to the embassy in London.
I need to call my lawyer.
In London. Will you do what I say, or do you want to stay here, cause trouble? Is this sensible, do you think? You have no visa. You are not wanted. Do you, in these circumstances, choose to stay in the hands of the authorities?
My expulsion was only the start. We see Bill's plane leave Moscow for the last time above a caption saying November 2005. And then the graphic does that thing where it scrolls through dates to June 2007. And the screen dissolves from Bill's plane into a scene of Bill looking from his window over the glitter of nighttime London. Face lit exquisitely by golden flashes of light sparkling through his Wexford crystal tumbler of Johnny Walker Blue.
Bill? Bill, can you hear me? It's Jamie.
Of course. What do you got?
Bill?
Are you in the office?
Sorry, I can't really hear you. It's crazy here. I'm just going to assume you can hear me and carry on. We're being raided. What? Obviously, it has to have something to do with you being expelled, but I can't see what.
What?
Hey! What are you doing with those? They're taking everything. What are you taking that for? What's going on?
Jamie?
They're not telling us why. Don't worry about it. We haven't done anything wrong. Jesus! What are you doing? Hey!
What's happening? Hey, hello? Hello? What was that? Hello? Jamie?
It's me, Sergei. They hit Maxim.
What?
They punched him, Mr. Browder.
This is insane, Bill. Maxim's gonna have to go to hospital.
Who's in charge, the official? You got his name?
Someone did. Wait. What's your name?
Kuznetsov. Lieutenant Colonel.
Did you get that? Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov.
Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov. I've written that name down in case it turns out to be important. Why do you think this is about me? What about your other clients?
It's definitely you. They're taking weird things, Sergei says. Your company seals and basically all the admin docs. We need to run them.
But the companies are dead, right?
Yeah. You're not here. Your money's not here. The companies are just shells.
So what's going on?
We don't know. It's a mystery.
I love how she says that. It's a mystery. Da, da, da. We cut to a montage. Somehow, we have to illustrate how Bill refuses to let justice sleep. Without any warning, the greatest, no modesty, one of the greatest investors in Russia's history has been expelled from the country, and now his lawyer's been raided. He has to know why. So, where it looks good. He's on top of Primrose Hill, staring across the city, the sky brooding.
Why this?
Why is it a time of waiting while nothing's happening, so we put in some pretty landscapes?
It's not a time of waiting. Is your plan a montage of you staring at the sky while I solve the mystery?
Yeah, but scenery shots these days with drones.
It's like an episode of Poirot.
I love Poirot.
Yes, but you're describing it like an episode where a little old lady employs Poirot, but we never actually see David Suchet, just the little old lady staring at the village green.
I've watched the box set 3 times, and I don't remember that one.
It's not a real episode. I'm making an analogy.
And I'm saying this episode of Poirot would be 1 star. But you're right. For us to invest in you as a character, we need to see you investigate. So
the camera points at Sergei's office in Moscow. Sergei is writing letters to the relevant authorities about the company papers which have been stolen. Then for a few weeks, he works on other assignments while he waits for a reply.
Hold on, seriously?
It's what happened.
I'm revising my review of this Poirot down to 0 stars. What about when you found out Kuznetsov was leading the investigation into himself stealing the company papers?
That was much later. First I had to get a reply and then write
No.
I have to lay out the cases against Karpov and Stepanova and Markov and Stashina.
Too many names. True, not real, old friend. Obviously, this is a gang and this is a system full of corrupt gangs. And they're all hooked into bits of government. But we have to let Kuznetsov be the face of it all, okay?
That's the only way people will follow.
I'm sorry. So, I got this. The camera flies into Sergei's office. He's pacing furiously, tearing out his hair.
I never did that.
He has a whiteboard drawing arrows between boxes saying stolen Browder company papers and Kuznetsov ? And then registered in Tatarstan. Y capital letters. Suddenly, the arrow pointing to Tatarstan comes alive, and we see a plane flying along it, and we cut to a ramshackle plane landing in this weird and distant part of the world.
It's not that distant.
Sergei!
It's only 700 kilometers. kilometers from Moscow. I didn't go. I called someone.
Great. Yes, a colorful local character. What do they wear? Animal furs, goats in the street.
That's a major city.
Jesus! Oh, okay, anyway, this colorful local character is gesticulating wildly.
He's our lawyer, visiting a court office to get records. Everyone is in suits.
The colorful local character is handed a secret box, furtively, terrified. And we see the plane flying back to Moscow, and suddenly, it's superimposed on the whiteboard arrow again, and we see Sergei write, "Convicted killer in Tatarstan owns Browder Companies!" And then, Interior Ministry, and he draws an arrow back to Kuznetsov, We close in on the words, Interior Ministry. They seem to almost glow, and then through that glow, we dissolve to an ultra-tight shot of Sergei's upper lip beating with sweat. Opposite him in the ministry interview room sits Katya Pliskova, a gorgeous young tax official in a gray tie. I'm putting all your investigations in one scene, okay?
Mr. Magnitsky.
Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov. I suppose I should have guessed it would be you.
It's time to back away, Sergei. An ordinary man would back away.
I am an ordinary man. Shall we start?
How are your way?
I'm turning on the tape.
We do not need this meeting recorded.
I'm sorry, sir. It's procedure.
It's not necessary, Sergeant Pliskova.
It's procedure, sir.
If you're clever, Sergeant.
I'm sorry, you have the wrong person for that, sir. I'm turning on the tape. It's 11:34 a.m, July the 24th, 2008. Present Sergei Magnitsky, Lieutenant Colonel Artem Kuznetsov, and Sergeant Katya Pliskova.
For the tape, I am surprised to discover, I don't know why I say that because I'm not surprised, that you, Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov, are investigating claims I'm making which involve you. Are you sure you can be impartial?
Yes.
Last year, Lieutenant Colonel, during a raid on the law firm Firestone Duncan, you removed the administrative papers for three defunct companies owned by Hermitage Capital, a fund which had withdrawn from Russia since the expulsion of William Browder.
I was investigating Hermitage on historic tax fraud.
So you claim. For the record, your office subsequently found that Hermitage had marginally overpaid its taxes.
You should be grateful to us.
Thank you. However, soon after this, the three Hermitage companies whose administrative papers you had mysteriously removed were fraudulently re-registered in Tatarstan.
It must have been Browder.
The company's original directors knew nothing about this, and in addition, they no longer had the paperwork necessary to re-register them. As documents 123 to 168 in the dossier show, the companies were now owned by Viktor Markolov, a sawmill foreman and convicted killer.
Hey.
Yes, Sergeant Pliskova, it is odd.
It's not relevant.
Soon after this, docs 170, 172 and 176, the three defunct companies which had been removed from Mr. Browder's control, remember, were subject to a series of claims in Tatarstan resulting in fines of $973 million.
Wow.
A local matter.
The sum of $973 million in fines is an interesting one.
Stop here, Mr. Magnitsky. You are asserting that some companies whose ownership you claim is irregular have been fined a lot of money, but there was no money to pay the fines.
Yes.
Then who's lost what? My advice, my strong advice, is that you leave this be. It's absurd, it offends your sense of propriety, but no one's suffered. It's Russia.
It's not what Russia should be. Document 23 shows that 973 million...
Mr. Magnitsky, please consider, up to this point, we remain friends. No crime worthy of the name has been described or recorded by my diligent associate.
$973 million, by extraordinary coincidence, was the exact sum which Hermitage declared as profit in 2006.
Oh, my God.
Indeed. As a point of tactics, it was perhaps unwise and arrogant to choose exactly the same amount that Hermitage had profited by. It's a paper trail.
I'm sure it won't happen again.
It was this profit of 973 million on which Hermitage had paid its tax, marginally overpaid, thank you again, of $230 million.
Mr. Magnitsky.
Please, documents 343 to 368. These records from the Kimki Tax Office show that the stolen companies set up accounts at two small Moscow banks.
Why, if the company's had no assets?
An excellent question, Sergeant Pliskova. The banks in question are small enough that using the central bank website, I could easily identify large sums entering or leaving their accounts. In December 2007, as you can see from document 450, they took receipt of sums totaling $230 million.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Sergeant Pliskova. The same $230 million that Hermitage paid in tax on its profits of $973 million.
This is incredible.
Turn off the recording.
I'm sorry, sir. That's not protocol.
Again, our fraudsters have left a paper trail by transferring the exact total of their theft.
But Browder hasn't lost anything.
It's not about Browder.
No, Sergeant Pliskova.
Christ, is all this true, Mr. Magnitsky?
You can check these documents.
You're saying this man stole...
Be careful. We're accusing Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov of nothing.
No. You're saying some unknown fraudsters have stolen more than $250 million from the Russian state. This is like...
In the neighbourhood where I grew up, there's a problem, a very big problem. There are gangs who come to set our homes on fire. On fire.
I've heard about this.
And they're burning down the house. The house. Yes, they're burning down the house. The house. Doctors, teachers patrol the streets to protect them. But they can't protect them. The developers buy the houses up. From the landlords, and they're burning down the house, and they come with petrol cans, and they pour it through the window. And they make 10 times the money from the crooked building deals and insurance. And insurance.
Yes, they make 10 times the money from the crooked building deals and insurance. And insurance.
You don't understand capitalism.
Capitalism is supposed to be markets allocating resources where they're needed. That's not what this is.
They'll burn down a company to help them buy a holiday home.
And they'll burn down the country to help them buy a football club.
Greed is good because
there's an invisible hand.
But it's been cut off from the body, from the body.
And a rising tide lifts all boats.
Not when you're drowning, when you're drowning.
You're rocking the boat that carries you. You shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. You should throw stones in a glass house.
But you're burning down.
And they make 10 times the money from the crooked building deals and insurance. Ah.
This is unbelievable. What happened to the money?
I can prove nothing, but circumstantially...
Hang on, also, how didn't I know about this? I've never even heard of a rebate this size. That would have been a huge investigation.
It was one of several similar rebates authorised with neither scrutiny nor delay by the head of the Moscow Tax Bureau, Olga Stepanova, who, with her husband and a joint income of under $40,000, owns assets with a value of $40 million.
Jesus!
You have no evidence.
Documents 471 to 512 record properties in Dubai, companies in Cyprus and the British Virgin Islands, as well as assets owned by you, Lieutenant Colonel.
This is outrageous.
Assets valued at $3 million despite your annual salary of $10,000.
Oh, my my God.
These are not my assets.
Of course. I'm sorry. As you say, and the documents state, your parents bought these properties. How is unclear, since they appear to earn less than you. But we must not rule out the possibility that they have become important international geriatric supermodels.
You bought those flats, Lieutenant Colonel. It's right here. Why are they all abroad?
Perhaps, Sergeant Pliskova, and I'm speculating, a gang which had just defrauded the Russian state might wish to hold their stolen money somewhere the law is less easily mocked.
Give me those documents.
You have the dossier.
All your papers and your briefcase. Turn out your pockets. Do you have a recording device?
I can't do this, sir.
Then I'll have to take the tape so my team can review these accusations.
The tape has to be transcribed.
I will take the tape!
Sir!
For the record, Sergeant Pliskova, I have also given other people this dossier as a public-spirited person.
Their names?
The New York Times.
Boom! We'd gone public and now they were really worried. They had to find some way to discredit me. So, okay, their plan is tricky to show some blow up, but I got it. The camera cuts from the interview room to an office. Two massive goons in jeans and shades are watching Kuznetsov stuff papers into a duffel bag. The camera zooms down, and we see the word Browder prominently on the papers. A hand zips up the bag, and then the bag is unzipped. But, and this is a great bit, when the bag is unzipped, we aren't in Russia anymore. We're in the Lambeth office of DHL.
What is Lambeth?
Yeah, it's in London. There's a caption. The goons are stuffing these papers into a DHL package addressed Firestone Duncan Moscow. And, Spielberg moment, smash cut to a split screen.
Hey, Jamie.
Sergei's here, too.
Boom!
Bill.
You're my soldiers. We're getting serious traction here. I'm speaking at Stanford, telling everyone to steer clear of Russia. We're going to make these bastards financial pariahs.
Something's happened, Bill.
Boom! What is it? Everyone okay?
Yes, just, we got a package from DHL 10 minutes ago. It's a load of the documents they used in the tax fraud.
Whoa!
It was sent from London.
Whoa! So, what is this? Is it a mystery?
No.
Say it's a mystery.
But it's not.
I love it when you say it.
It's a mystery.
Boom!
It's not a mystery, Bill. It was sent from London because that's where you are and they're trying to frame you. Hey! What's that? Sorry, Bill.
What's going on?
No way! Stop that!
Jamie?
We're being raided again. Oh, God, it's Kuznetsov, obviously. I've got to go.
Jamie! Jamie, what's happening? Is anyone there?
Sergei, Mr. Browder, they went straight to the DHL delivery. They knew it was coming.
But I didn't send it, so it's no problem.
It's a big problem, Mr. Browder.
Jamie, here. They've gone. Kuznetsov just wanted the package.
It's a mystery.
It's not a mystery, Bill. They're manufacturing evidence against you.
But it's ridiculous.
They don't have to win a case. They're trying to sow confusion, make what you're saying sound less credible.
How does Kuznetsov have this kind of power?
It's not just him. Sergei thinks this is coming from the top.
You going public makes everyone nervous. Yes, the oligarchs, but mainly the gangs of medium guys like him. They can't afford you causing trouble in the West.
They've all invested in London and New York.
If Putin can't protect Russian property, then he's not the papa.
Boom! This reminds me of the most amazing piece of true history you ever heard. Did you know that when Khrushchev, you remember the May Day parades, when they had thousands of nuclear missiles? Well, hold on to your funny furry hats. Those missiles were made of wood.
Sergei told us that?
Yeah, I don't think so. My point is, this DHL stunt is wooden evidence, wooden facts for a wooden lawsuit, because it's all fake to change how the West behaves and to make Putin look like the papa.
I am surprised to say this is not a bad analogy.
It's brilliant.
We were showing the Russians that they couldn't rely on the papa, and the papa was mad as hell. Just a few days later, at Sergei's Moscow flat...
Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov.
Mr. Magnitsky, this is Major Silchenko of the Investigative Department at the Interior Ministry.
Evidence has come to light, sir.
I have been bringing it to light. The Lieutenant Colonel knows what I'm talking about.
He doesn't, sir. Nor do I. Trust me. Evidence has come to light concerning your role in alleged crimes committed by your boss, William Browder.
Mr. Browder is not my boss. I am a tax accountant working for a law firm.
A distinction without a difference, Mr. Magnitsky. Mr. Browder, not you, is the focus of our investigation. I'm offering you the chance to expose him.
I won't lie. You're framing him and me.
But you will go free.
I won't lie.
In which case, you'll have to come with us, mate.
A few weeks ago, I presented evidence of curious financial patterns involving the Lieutenant Colonel.
I don't remember that.
Of course you do. I am saying it to be on the record for this gentleman here. You heard me, Major Silchenko.
No, mate. Sorry.
The camera follows Sergei's eyeline to photographs of him and his wife and son, cooking at the beach, joyful. Will I ever see them again, he thinks.
Of course I'll see them, is what I thought.
Sergei is led sadly away, and we smash cut. I love that word, smash cut, smash cut. We smash cut from this intense domestic scene to a sun-drenched London penthouse. We go from gloomy darks and browns to gold evening blues and yellows, and everything feels bigger. And Bill is at a party for families investing in Russia. Two paparazzi socialite-style teens are hanging on his every word.
We've heard your lawyer's in jail because you're, like, against privatization.
Against corruption.
Yeah, that's so great. We think it's great you've changed.
Sorry?
That you've turned away from, like, capitalism. Like, our parents are capitalists.
Oh, well, they're capitalists who are trying to help Russia.
Sasha says Russian privatization was, like, state-sponsored theft.
Money is so gross.
Sasha, he's, like, a dick. He's at the international school, too. His dad is an oligarch or something. He told us all about it. I might be going out with him.
You totally are.
He hasn't texted me.
His family has this, like, awesome yacht.
It's gross, but it's awesome.
Well, that's the thing. It's easy to dislike capitalists these days since the crash.
You're not like that.
You're like the good guy.
Yeah? Yes! Well, no one usually thinks that.
You're trying to help people and, like, get Russia's money back that was stolen. You're, like, probably the only good guy at this party.
Hey, will your friend be okay?
My friend? Oh, Sergei, yes, yes, of course, he's my friend. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Sasha says he's, like, totally screwed. Unless he gives you up. That's Sasha, over there, the blonde one. I don't know why he hasn't texted me. Why do you think?
I don't know.
It's so weird. A banker being a good guy.
Yes, I'm a good guy. But I'm just a charismatic multimillionaire. How can I do anything to change this rotten system?
You know it's hard out there. The frontier is chaos. It's wild out there. We need a sheriff to show us that the law is what's what. Whip the bad guys in shape. Tell those good-for-nothing villains it's some dude in a cape is gonna stand up to them and lead the crusade. The government won't do it. They're too darned afraid.
Being rich lets you be popular so you can help more people. That's our philosophy.
It's like, feel good.
It's not really philosophy.
Like, yeah. We studied this famous Roman wizard called Plato.
In book two of Plato's Republic, there's a bit about justice.
Oh, yeah. I took a philosophy module in college and flunked it.
Oh, yeah, you totally did.
But I remember book two, there's this gnarly young dude who's like...
Socrates, tell us the virtues of being a good guy when all of the bad guys get all of that cash and all of the flash shit and hot chicks and whoa.
This other dude jumps on the line who's like fine with the kings and like rich people being so unjust.
Cause like with all the dough, you know, you can pay for the trust of plebs and the press. They like sit there and judge you.
True. The people who hand out the power begrudge you. It's like they're jealous of us. It's like they want all that fuss.
It's like they really wish they could be one of us. They're like, hey, you standing up on that golden trim pedestal, being so like, oh, yeah, look, so I'm cool. Like, look at you up on my magazine cover.
But see, on page 7, I think you'll discover I just went to Kenya with UNICEF, baby.
And suddenly, hell yeah! I love this lady! I forgot that you advertised SUVs.
And once I threw up on a journalist's knees.
And you remember that tweet that was borderline racist?
And the Instagram
sexting with Ed Sheeran's face.
But now I retweet all that Greenpeace stuff. And I have someone telling me when to look tough. And when to look smart, and when to look kind. And my stock has gone up like I'm Princess Di.
PR baby, we all need a good guy. And it could be you.
PR baby,
the world is messed up, but you can change it with YouTube.
You write your own story, you tell it online. You
bask in the glory, you'll be just fine. The internet truth is the truth that you choose. Watch that dopamine soar with your likes and your views. PR baby, PR baby, we all need a good guy, and it could be you. PR baby, PR baby, the world is messed up, but you can change it with YouTube.
I never realized about Plato.
Yeah, he was like an enlightened capitalist, like Gwyneth.
No, he was like Dumbledore, and his Harry Potter was Aristotle, who was like, you need money to do magnificent things.
Like justice.
Yeah, I think I got this.
In my hour of darkness, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the day, when all's said and done, when the wolves are at bay, when the hurly-burly's done, I'm a hero. Naturally, I'm a hero in my heart.
I can get used to this.
I'm a good guy, I'm going fat-free. I'm a Diet Coke, organic, going for broke. Don't panic, I'm a hero guy.
He's a hero guy.
We cut to my amazing YouTube video, and then the screen does that thing where you see it multiplying to 4 screens, and then 16, and then hundreds.
Jamie, have you seen it?
Yes.
I'm a YouTube virus.
I know.
I'm fighting for justice. Have you seen the comments? Keep fighting for justice.
Yes.
We're the good guys.
I get that, but I worry about making this public.
We've got 100,000 hits. It's a world record.
I don't think it is.
It is.
The thing is, Bill, the more publicity about this...
Boom!
Yes, but the more publicity, the harder you make it for Russia to back down.
They have to back down. We've got all the facts.
Yes, but Sergei's still in prison.
Don't worry. He's paper-trailed everything. They can't risk harming him. Boom!
Mr. Magnitsky, have we changed our mind? Oi, Sergei!
No.
Okay. You will.
La 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 la. And they're keeping me in Moscow detention center 5. Many men are here as well. They don't have beds, we sleep in shifts. And they all say it would be a stroke of luck just to survive. I suppose they're trying to scare me, yet I can't help but resist. And it's so bloody cold, there's no glass in the window. The toilet is an open hole, there's sewage round my feet. But I'm one little man, one little man with a law on my side.
Oi! Magnitsky!
I've made complaints, Major Silchenko. They have been logged. This will end. I'm before the judge tomorrow. As you can see from my complaints, due process has in no
denied.
Way...
denied.
But no, because...
denied. Next case.
I don't understand.
I don't know what you expected, mate. It was a judge put you in here.
I work for a law firm.
Well, then you must know you're screwed. Give up, Browder, mate. It's not going to get any better in here.
They won't let me see my son, you know, he's only a child. There's a pain in my stomach, won't abate, I'm going wild. I feel the walls are closing round me now, I'm losing control. All I know is hanging in the balance, still I know my role. But it's so bloody cold, there's no glass in the window. Toilet is an open hole, there's sewage round my feet. And I'm one little man with a law on my side.
okay, mate. No more staying at the Ritz. We're off to Butyrka.
No, no, the doctor said I need tests.
No, the official line is you're putting it on.
But the doctor said
that... You know what you have to do, mate. Seriously. You look terrible. Just do it.
I do not appreciate having my time wasted again, Mr. Magnitsky.
But, Your Honour, I've presented the medical report.
Denied.
I applied... But my application about the fabrication of evidence...
Denied!
But I've only just handed it to
denied.
You.
Denied!
Denied! In a national tragedy, there's nothing to be got or gained. A home is where the heart is, but mine's broken and I'm crying in pain. The law is not a toy, I must retain my wits for what I found. I know that no one hears me, but the truth is what I've written down. Mama, don't you worry about me too much. My psychological resilience surprises me sometimes. It seems as if I can endure anything. But it's so bloody cold, there's no glass in the window. And it seems the smallest gesture now to hold out to the end some story that my father told, that Russia is my friend, as me praying through the beatings that this isn't all in vain. I can't go on any longer with the torture and the pain. And though they keep on telling me I'm only one little man with the truth in my hand, I know that I'm bigger than... I was one little man with a law on my side.
The screen goes black, and suddenly, we cut to Bill's sunbathed luxury office, and we see him take the call, and then, in juddery jump cuts, under silence probably, we see him throw his head back to scream, turn circles like a wild beast in a cage, plunge to the floor as if knifed in the gut.
For God's sake!
What?
I've just watched myself die, and you're play-acting being sad.
I'm not play-acting. That's what I did.
It's always the same. Russia's corrupt. The little man gets crushed. The rich Westerner cries and does nothing.
I did not do nothing.
Do you really look after my family?
So what if we didn't know each other super well back then, whenever? Because since you died, I've been your friend. Because you were a hero. And I didn't do nothing. I made it mean something. What a friend would do for a friend. We cut to Bill, walking around London, which actually I did in the Moody Evening Times. Looks amazing. They use these shots in Mission Impossible even. And suddenly, as Bill stares into both the water and the vortex of his surprisingly sensitive soul, the music tells us he's had an idea. He reaches for his phone.
Bill? Has something happened?
Yes. I'm standing on the Thames. Guess what I can see?
Well, that depends where you are on the Thames.
No, it doesn't. Okay, look, I'm on the bridge opposite, I don't know. It's not the little bridge opposite St. Paul's or the big one at Waterloo, but that's not the point. It doesn't matter. You can see the same thing from all of them.
No, you can't.
People building apartments, Jamie. Everywhere. And you know what these apartments are?
Time might see through the false and insincere. Time can puncture delusion. But it's hard to see the wood for the trees when you're blinded by the illusion. Let me tell you all the tale of the three little businessmen, Vladimir, Vadim, and Vlas. Well, they knew all the money that they'd stolen out in Russia wouldn't be worth a toss.
So they bought up the streets of South Ken. They bought furs and pearls for their wives. Then they sent their kids to Eton, bought a castle out near Seaton, spent their summers down in Monaco, stocked cellars with fine wines. Wooden money from wooden economies, let's turn all their hope into vanity. Wouldn't it be nice if we could burn down the houses that they bought with this rotten alchemy? When your papa is the papa who's the biggest of the school gates, nobody messes with him. But when your papa is the papa slapped with international sanctions, all the children start to see. Oh, papa's been smacked in the face. Papa's been shifted and shunted. I put the money through the Caymans, then through Prague, and on occasions I had companies established, and my lawyers worked a night shift, and I paid for all the school fees with a bag of rotten rupees. Now my assets have been frozen, and the papa that we've chosen can't protect us, can't defend us. He's been stilted and it's stunted. Time might see through the false and insincere. Time can puncture delusion. But it's hard to see the wood for the trees when you're blinded by the illusion. Wooden money from wooden economies, let's turn all their hope into vanity. Wouldn't it be nice if we could burn down the houses that they bought with this rotten alchemy?
Jesus, Bill.
Did you get it?
Of course I do.
Papa Putin already hates me because I'm causing trouble in the West, and that makes him look weak.
Yeah.
But still, all these mobsters keep buying London apartments because they're protected by the law. So, why don't I give Papa something to really worry about? What if all his crooked Russians start losing their things?
But like you say, the law...
We change the law. They use stolen money, the West confiscates it. Boom!
You're not a politician.
I'm gonna start a campaign.
Campaigns need someone to campaign for. A pretty girl, a victim. Megan's Law.
Magnitsky's Law.
He was a lawyer, Bill. People don't campaign for lawyers. They campaign for donkeys and puppies.
That is why I'm starting with America.
I don't understand.
Look, in the UK, you're right. The politicians aren't lawyers. They'll just pretend to care. But in America, politics is all lawyers everywhere. And think about it. To lawyers, a dead lawyer is a puppy.
All that time you were listening to me about Putin must look strong and storing money in London.
Cut to April 2010. Bill is in the office of top Obama advisor Kyle Scott.
We gotta pass this goddamn bill.
It's never gonna happen, Mr. Browder. You're the wrong ambassador for this cause.
I'm the only ambassador.
Oh, come on. Think optics. You're a financier. People hate that, for a start, and the Russian government is accusing you of fraud.
That's just wooden justice.
What does that mean?
It's just a wooden model. It's not real.
Mr. Brown.
It's the opposite of true, and the law should be the opposite of the opposite of true. It should be going down the mean street, untarnished and unafraid. And the first commandment is thou shalt not kill.
That's the sixth commandment.
It should be the first. They murdered my friend.
I can see this is personal for you.
Yes! My best friend died, and he died for the law. If the law can't protect us, then what is it for? He never gave up. The global economy won't be safe from corruption, and we're the enablers if we don't fight and disrupt them. Do the right thing.
We got a system for doing these things, Mr. Browder. It's complicated.
I refuse to acknowledge complexity.
Acts have consequences. What will Russia do if we pass this bill? How do you know it won't bring down Western civilization somehow? Do I see doubt in your eyes?
No.
I do. To my surprise, it almost feels like your second moment of doubt for some reason, like I'm looking into your surprisingly sensitive soul and you're realizing that maybe your quest might stop us getting a trade deal and bringing Russia into the community of nations.
I don't have doubts, and it doesn't matter if this bill costs a goddamn trade deal. It already costs Sergei his life. This is right or wrong, Mr. Scott. Russia isn't for the law, and America is, and that is everything.
It's the hunt for Red October. It's clear and present danger. You're Rocky IV, Die Hard 3, Air Force One, the Lone Ranger. You're just following your heart. You'll never pass the Bill. If you go after these guys, you'll fall on your ass, Bill. You have to leave home in a disguise. You're just following your heart.
Yeah, 'cause to do the right thing, you gotta follow your heart. It's a lesson you learn when you pay heed to great art. Never give up. It's Tin Cup Butch and Sundance hitting one last bank. It's helping Free Willy get out of that tank. It's a river of turds in Shawshank. It's the pig who's a sheepdog who's saving a farm. It's one where the guy has to cut off his own arm. He just sliced through that arm. Do the right thing and follow your heart. Never give up and follow your heart. And that's all I wanna do, it's all I gotta do. Do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right
thing. Sorry, Mr. Browder, it's impossible. Senators and congressmen may agree with you in private, but they're mostly trusting us to make sure there's never a public vote. We do diplomacy secretly because getting what you want is hard.
But if you do this in secret, Russia gets to keep its dirty washing hidden. And this dirty washing is a goddamn money laundry.
Meeting is over, Mr. Browder. Trust me, one man can't possibly do what you're trying to do.
Stand up and fight for justice, stand up for the law. If we don't stand for this, then what is it we're for? You'll say I can't do it, I can't change the world. But I'll never stop, my banner's unfurled. I'm singing about corruption, singing what we're gonna do. You gotta reach inside your hearts, you gotta do it in public too. Y'all drown in bureaucracy, I'm singing shine a light. Freedom and justice, clear wrong, clear right. Follow your heart, make the bad guys all pay. Follow your heart, it's the American way. I'll carry on fighting, I'll carry on proud. If you think that I'm noisy, wait till I get a crowd. Senators, congressmen, lawyers, a whole chorus. Singing for justice, how can you ignore us? I'm a Tyrannosaurus! Boom!
The U.S. Senate is proud to announce that today, the 6th December, 2012, we have passed the Russia and Moldova Jackson-Vanik repeal
really?
And Sergei Magnitsky
no.
Rule of Law Accountability Act.
This is incredible.
What are friends for?
I don't know what to say. You really did this? In my name? Putin must have been crazy.
Crazy. And I wasn't done there. I kept campaigning for Magnitsky acts around the world. The camera cuts to Bill, 2013, Oslo, a gorgeous auditorium.
Wait, you got a Nobel Prize? That's amazing.
Oh, no. This was the Oslo Freedom Forum, the Super Bowl of human rights. Maybe I will get a Nobel Prize, but this wasn't that. Bill is backstage, preparing to speak.
Mr. Bill Browder.
Oh, damn it.
Mr. Bill Browder.
This isn't convenient, Jamie.
You have to get on a plane to London right now. Russia's put out a red notice, an Interpol arrest warrant.
What? Interpol can't take that seriously.
Interpol helped the Nazis hunt down Jews in the 1930s, Bill. Get out of there, get home before it's at all ports, and then we deal with it.
In a stunning rebuke to the Putin regime, Interpol has rejected and deleted all notices related to Bill Browder.
It got very hard for me to travel, old friend. They actually tried us both for fraud in Moscow.
With you not there and me dead? That's Kafkaesque.
That was a show trial. They dispute every word I'm saying here, of course. They've even accused me of killing you, and they're still trying to get round Interpol.
Why don't you stop?
Because I have no choice. Because you kept going.
I don't know what to say.
You said.
I don't know what to say, so I'll have to sing it.
It's not to say Bill's good in simple ways or that he's nice. He's bold and profiteering, and he'd never once thought twice. But in the end, he is my friend because something revealed. A big, fat, special thing, which is no one can make him yield. He decided in his heart that the system was wrong, and he forced the whole damn world to see some sense and go along. His very big, fat, throbbing, special thing is that he's strong. And I can only admit this because I'm singing a song.
I'm humbled.
That is literally not true, Mr. Browder, but thank you. My gut finds this story uplifting, even if the reality
is... The gut's what counts, because that's where your heart is.
Not exactly.
No time, remember the teaser. Bill's incredible story is not finished. The bill is passed. Hey, bill is the same word as builder. There has to be something we can do with that. The bill is passed, but how will the mighty Russian bear react? The camera is flying above Moscow. It swoops along the Moskva River to the Bolshoi Bridge, races past the pedestrians towards St. Basil's, into the Kremlin, and then through the gray rooms of staring office drones until it reaches an ordinary-looking wooden door. Through that door is a total surprise. Cool 70s furniture, a guitar. On the wall, there's a photo of Tupac and a poster for a Russian band called Agatha Christie.
Oh, God, it's Surkov.
A 48-year-old woman in black polo neck and black framed glasses grins like a dangerously hip shark. Vladislava Surkova, Putin's shadowy spin queen.
Surkov's a man.
The whole point with Surkova is that she's a mysterious background figure. Who knows what's real? So, now the camera pans to show our old friend, Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov, a Natalia Veselnitskaya, who we remember from the teaser, will turn up later at the Trump Tower.
This meeting really happened.
Cards on the table, Sergei? I don't know. I'm trying to tell a goddamn story here about how Russia reacted to the Magnitsky Act. Did they even know Surkova? Was it exactly Surkova, exactly responsible in exactly this way? I don't know. But this is how Russia reacted.
You know this how?
British courts say it. U.S. intelligence says it. Just go with it, please.
Show them in, Lottie. Thanks, Lottie. Guys, a latte. Did Lottie get you a latte?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, Miss Sokova.
Oh, Vladislava, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Really? Not a latte? You'll feel more comfortable.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, totally. I've always wanted one. Black, please.
Lottie, a latte for Lieutenant Colonel Kuznetsov and another black for Miss Veselnitskaya.
Okay.
A black latte for Ms. Veselnitskaya. A black latte. It is, after all, what we do, significant pause.
I don't understand.
Well, latte...
Don't mansplain me. It's, like, totally amazing to meet you, Miss Sokova. I'm a huge fan of Eminent Squeezes in general, and you're the best.
What my very clever, ironical observation about black lattes meant is that what we do is that we adjust what can be real.
Like, perfectly, totally. I don't get it. It's so cool.
Calm down, Natalia. She's not that brilliant.
I am.
We'll ban adoptions from Russia if they pass the Magnitsky Act. That's what you said.
I don't remember that.
You said talking about adoptions would distract the West and sow confusion, and no one will be able to concentrate on what's true. But Preet bloody Bharara saw straight through you.
Snap to press conference. Caption: New York prosecutor Preet Bharara.
Thank you. I propose to ignore Russia's current adoption rules, which is a cynical attempt to destabilize anti-money laundering legislation. Today's forfeiture action, in which we demand $24 million from these Russian interests, is a significant step towards unwinding a complex laundering scheme arising from a notorious fraud. New York is not a safe haven for criminals seeking to hide their loot.
$24 million. And this Barara says it's just a step.
It is unfortunate.
Unfortunate?
I have persuaded my nominal superiors, does Surkova acknowledge superiors, raised eyebrow, that the West does not have an adjustable enough relationship to reality.
The reality is it's 2016 and we've got to stop Europe getting a Magnitsky Act. If Manhattan's off limits, then London's all our pensions.
It's like totally ridiculous. Like, our money is a mile less dodgy than half the money going into London.
Of course, but England can never admit this publicly. So, it's a fun problem.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. But what's your plan?
To re-educate England.
Oh, they're not going to listen to you.
Well, they won't know. And I will be making them happy. After all, what does England want?
It's the UK, actually.
No.
It's Britain, actually. Is that right?
No, it's England. That's what matters. What is the real England?
Is this a trick?
Isn't England green fields and teacups and cricket players on the Downton Abbey Village green, Quizzical Glance?
Yes, but of course, Downton Abbey's not the real England.
It's the England that people know and love. Even English people.
But if you look at London...
The English voters of England don't think London is English, or any city.
But most of them live in cities.
But they still believe England is villages and vicars.
How do you know this?
Because I have a television. Tea and Marmite, pip, 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 pip. The 6 o'clock news. Village greens are in decline, pubs have run out of booze. Strictly Sunday Yorkshire pudding and a red post box. Conkers, Downton, maple dancing and a slaughtered fox. And Polish Bill does tuck your baked beans. And Syrian babies stole the NHS. Untax my lager, untax my sex drive. Bring me page three, bring me my bloody.
Is all you're doing just using Facebook and Twitter and sending money to amplify what some people are already saying?
Yes, says Surkova, a meaningful glint in her eye. That is all we're doing. Two world wars and one World Cup, lads. Don't give up the dream. Tell us that we're still great, please, mate, or we're gonna scream. Cheerio and ooh, Giza. Keep the sovereignty. Raleigh's, Wellies, Bobbies, and we can buy back Cadbury's. And Polish nurses took your custard, and Syrian babies stole the NHS.
Untax my lager, untax my sex drive. Bring me pastry, bring me my bloody. Dippy dippy with a toaster soldier. We build an empire on Carol Vorderman's legs. Mr. Whippy fixes strict foreclosure. Migrant crisis, cricket score. Roaming tariffs, suits our lord. Brussels sprouts have taken over. Build a wall from Penzance to Dover. How's your father? How's the weather? Stiff the liver, that's a good fella. It's very confusing, but one thing is certain. He didn't wear a poppy. Single markets only trade with one, two, three. 28 in the bed and the little one said Brexit, Brexit. 28 in the bed and the little one said Brexit,
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 Brexit, Brexit.
Wow.
Literally Brexit.
You're unbelievable.
I have to say, hats off.
That was so cool. I've got friends in London and they all saw those Facebook ads and they said that everyone there is so angry about everything. And it's so amazing knowing you did it all from here. It's just wow.
Russia really did that?
Pretty much.
It can't be that simple. And England can't take the vote back.
It's perfect. If London's going to be outside Europe, there's no way England can afford to turn down our money.
No UK Magnitsky Act.
Maybe.
What?
Who cares? England might pass a Magnitsky Act. Public relations, we are tough on crime. But they'll need our money. And so they'll say we are not crime.
Can we do it in America? Can we Brexit preach Barra? He's really busting my balls.
Hmm.
Surkova thinks, as even she's surprised by her English triumph, enigmatic smile. And eventually she says, "The thing I wonder is, I don't think Preet Bharara is really American. I mean, Preet Bharara."
That might be racist.
It's nothing to do with race. It's just there's something about him that a real American would think of as not American.
I know what you mean. When I picture a typical American, like Don Draper in Mad Men, Preet Bharara doesn't look like that. That's not racist.
You see, after all, what is America?
Country music, spring break, gold rush, land of pioneers. Someone tell us we're still here, please. Someone calm our fears. Dunkin' Donuts, guns in Walmart, a bed of Fox and Friends. The greatest nation since sliced white bread can be great again. Can you see the shining stars? They shine for me, they shine for you. We'll wear red caps, we'll drain the swamp, we'll fly the flag, we'll fight fake news. Or Donald Trump, take me home to the land of the free.
Brexit America.
We're going to prepare the way. For Brexit and Europe, there were years of useful idiots like Corbyn and Farage and weak little England dreaming of olden glories.
But America's strong, so it won't work.
We are Russia. Napoleon and Hitler think we will fall, but we retreat into the snows and gather, and we send them home walking through blood on shattered feet, and now their dreams are dust. America sends us her capitalism, and we retreat again, but now we've gathered.
And we prepare the way by supporting a useful idiot. But Trump is just an idiot.
An agitator, Lieutenant Colonel, is always useful.
He doesn't look controllable.
Hence, Natalia will go to a meeting with his people.
Oh, wow.
And she will take Ike Cavalazzi.
Cavalazzi is a playboy.
He won't say anything.
He won't shut up.
Cavalazzi's associates have worked with Mr. Trump on some interesting projects. Cavalazzi will be there to remind Trump we know this.
OK, and this is going to be me? That's great, I can so do this. But what will I offer them? What do we know about Hillary? Is it good?
Smash cut, smash cut. And whoa, we're finally back at the legendary Trump Tower meeting.
Stop. This can't be right. This, what's the word? Brexit. England leaving the EU. That's not because of me.
Because of me, yes.
It can't be that simple.
In this show,
Russia has to have other reasons, like it's good if the EU is weaker.
Okay, geez, there's other things too. But Putin never stops talking about the sanctions, and the legendary Trump Tower meeting was about sanctions.
Donald Trump's really standing for president.
Yes.
As a stunt, because he's a joke.
He's the Republican candidate.
Of the Republican Party.
Just watch. We return to the meeting we left in the teaser. There's Don Jr. and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And there's Ike Cavalazzi, whose associates have done deals with Trump. And there's Veselnitskaya.
You really have got nothing on Hillary.
Well,
why are we even here?
Oh, I know that one. I am here to remind Mr. Trump of what we know about him.
What do you know about him?
I don't know, bro.
The Russian government is crapola.
Not the government.
Not the government. We need facts.
Quizzical glance learned from the master.
What do you mean, quizzical glance? What does she mean, bro?
There are facts, and there is what people think. Mr. Trump did not have facts when he said President Obama was a Muslim.
Barack Hussein Obama?
Indeed. He did not need facts because it seemed true. Russians have great expertise in adjusting what seems true, and we respect this talent. I'm merely a private citizen, of course, but I'd hope my country would use this expertise wherever and however she could to advance her national interest.
I see.
For instance, while no one expects Mr. Trump to win...
Wait, what?
Shut up, Junior.
Win or lose, let us say, Mr. Trump does not want to be embarrassed. And Russia, I speculate, probably hopes that a damaged President Clinton won't pursue America's vendetta against lawful Russian businesses.
What's this got to do with us?
From your perspective, a damaged President Clinton might not investigate Americans whose dealings with Russian businesses...
Like your family's dealings with us, bro. Oh, dude, I totally get why I'm here. That's so clever.
I'm sure those dealings are legitimate.
Of course they are. But for privacy reasons, Mr. Trump prefers to avoid the American legal system.
It is better to operate under more flexible judiciaries.
I totally get that.
Oh, for God's sake, Junior, you don't get anything.
I totally do, bro. I'm actually very brilliant. It's like when Pia Wurzbach won Miss Universe.
Whoa, she was hot.
Not Universe hot. She wasn't as hot as Olivia Jordan.
No way.
Hey, did you know Olivia Jordan was the first Oklahoman to be Miss USA?
I totally knew.
Oh, Jesus.
What, Jared?
We're such students of this crap.
It's the family business, Jared. Family. I bet you didn't even know Miss Universe is really often a Venezuelan or a Filipina.
Of course I knew.
Because they're attractive peoples. That's actually racist, Jared.
Is it because that's where the big TV contracts are?
No way. Those judges are totally impartial.
Totally, dude. Those judges are totally rectitudinous. But think about it. Either the most beautiful girls really come from the countries which care most about Miss Universe, or the judges are guided by some unconscious scientific kind of human nature thing to pick winners from those countries. And that's coincidentally super helpful for the people who run Miss Universe, who choose those judges.
Dude.
Human nature, bro. It's not relevant to anything we're discussing now, like politics, but I thought I'd mention it.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
This cannot be real.
It's archive footage. All this happened because of me and... Oh my God, Sergey. Is this the third and fatal crack of doubt? No, it must not be. The hero cannot reflect. He always has to act, move forward. But oh my God.
Don't panic, Mr. Browder.
But Western civilization, what if...
Like we said before, Mr. Browder, it can't be this linear.
Yeah, sure, it's complicated and Russia wants other things, but this mattered. Putin needs his backers and the Magnitsky Act totally freaks them out. He talked about it in his first press conference with Trump.
But Western civilization... isn't the American president. It's science and liberty and the truth and the rule of law. The act is still there.
Yes.
And the New York man, was his name Barrera? He's still going after the launderers.
Trump sacked him.
But his department...
Barrera's replacement settled for $6 million. Not boom. Anti-boom. Boomus minimus. Veselnitskaya called it an apology from the U.S. government. And Trump's changing all the judges. And hey, watch this. There's a weird sound effect. And the camera starts to circle Bill. And in his eyes, we see the panic of a wild boar who's also a financial genius and legal hero who realizes he's in a trap of his own making.
Why did the wild boar make a trap?
Shut up, I don't know. Because what the camera is asking is... is this an unexpected twist ending happening to me, him in real time? Is this really a Russian story where following his heart has led the world into catastrophe?
You did the right thing, old friend.
Do you really mean that?
That you did the right thing, or when I called you old friend?
I don't undercut the moment. That's so typical of you. I really need to know, did I do the right thing?
Yes.
You're just saying that.
You've fought for a law that's not made of wood, that shields the little man from the state and the outcast from the mob.
Captain America has a shield.
Yes.
I'm Captain America. But the consequences...
There are no consequences worse than the death of justice. You said, I don't care if you come after me, there is a price for doing wrong. Your act says, what shall trade deals profit us if we lose our own soul? So you do not murder or torture or lie or cheat or climb your way to power on the broken backs of little men. This is what you understood. This is what the law should be.
Sometimes the world is in darkness. It feels like we're all in a mess.
Sometimes we all need a hero. Just some guy who does his best.
Some guy who isn't perfect, but some guy who holds the line.
It takes a brave, brave guy, a crazy guy, to stand up and speak his mind.
Don't give in, don't give up, don't lie down, don't throw up. It's a roller coaster, baby. It's a wild, wild ride. Come with me, fight the fight. Light the light, walk the tightrope of justice.
It's very difficult unless you've had circus training.
We may be driven by a sense of entitlement. We may have unchecked ego.
We may think the world owes us everything. Dante-style Castillo, amigo.
You're a sheriff in a town full of outlaws. You know you might lose the war.
But whatever your reason for fighting, you gotta fight for what's worth fighting for.
And the law isn't perfect, no, no.
But the law knows she's worth it, Lord, Lord. The law is the people's friend. She'll get the bad guys in the end. She's all right.
She's ours for the fight.
Out of sight.
Out of sight.
Don't give in, don't give up. Don't lie down, don't throw up. It's a roller coaster, baby. It's a wild, wild ride. Come with me, fight the fight. Light the light, walk the tightrope of justice. Don't you fall off that rope. It's a long way down, baby. It's so far down. It's the law that will save us. It's the law that has made us.
It's the law that will keep us all dry.
It's raining, pouring, it's raining cats and dogs. Build the shield with the law. Shun the sword with the law.
Stand with the many.
I mean, I'm rich, but I'm also a hero guy. Do the right thing and follow your heart.
In Magnitsky the Musical, Bill was played by Paul Chahidi and Sergei by Johnny Flynn. Jamie and Serkova were played by Fenella Woolgar, Veselnitskaya by Ellie Kendrick, Kuznetsov, Gus Brown, Ike, Ian Cunningham, Jared, Will Kirk, The Guard, Clive Hayward, The Fisherman, Neil McCall, and The Judge by Jessica Turner. Additional singing was by Sinead McInnes, Laura Christie, Scarlett Courtney, and Lucy Reynolds. The cellist was Joe Zeitlin, and sound was by Peter Ringrose. Music and lyrics were by Johnny Flynn, and book and lyrics by Robert Hudson. The director was Sasha Yevtushenko.
And you can find more editions of Drama on Three on BBC Sounds.
Sean Sheba's Past and Future Sounds is at 11 this evening. In this second episode, Sean delves into some of the many ways of playing Bach on the lute and guitar, discovers connections between Debussy, Villa-Lobos and the bossa nova, and shows how to get an otherworldly effect using a guitar and a spoon.
Vienna, 1808. In a single evening, some of the greatest works of the 19th century were premiered. Beethoven's explosive Fifth Symphony, his pastoral Sixth Symphony, his Fourth Piano Concerto, and the choral fantasy which foreshadowed the famous Hymn to Brotherhood in his Ninth Symphony. As part of Beethoven Unleashed on BBC Radio 3, his legendary concert of 1808, reconstructed by the BBC National Orchestra and Chorus of Wales and the Welsh National Opera Orchestra, next Sunday afternoon at 4.
This is Radio 3, it's 9:05 and time for tonight's In Concert, presented by Fiona Talkington.
The foremost violinist in the world. His playing is truly inexplicable, as Paganini was once described. He became a celebrity throughout Europe, astonishing audiences wherever he went, and was in so much demand on tour that he amassed a small fortune. At last summer's Bad Kissingen Festival in Germany, Sergei Krylov played Paganini's Violin Concerto No. 5, a work from his final years, which still has that brilliance and virtuosity. But take the slow movement, for example. Here, Paganini sings like an angel, as Schubert once put it. The setting for the concert is just as beautiful, a neo-baroque palace in the heart of the Spa town, built just over 100 years ago. The Russian violinist Sergei Krylov is joined by the Ural Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Dmitri Lis, in Paganini's Violin Concerto No. 5 in A minor.